This message was preached in the Trinity Bible Church pulpit in East Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic.
If you would go with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, we will read verses 18 to 22. King James Version, verse 18. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon the fig tree withered away! Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye had faith, and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if ye shall say unto the mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. The title of this message is, My life is an act of faith and prayer. My life is an act of faith and prayer. And the exegetical idea, the basic idea, the purpose of this passage is that our life, the life of every child of God, must continually produce faith and prayer. All our lives as believers should be shown as a single act of faith and prayer. And I speak of the act not as a one-time act or as a one-time only, and that is all, but as a lifestyle where we act continuously. What moves people to act? To believe? To live? The Lord Jesus Christ teaches us in this passage that our lives as believers must continually produce fruit. Fruit that the Holy Spirit must produce in our hearts. And that is a life of faith and prayer. The instructions for the Lord for the 3 years that he spent with his disciples was something simple. It was progressing. Every work, every situation was used by the Lord because even though 3 years may seem a long time, in reality, it's quite a limited time to prepare a group of men, unlettered men and unbeknownst men, to understand and proclaim the gospel. And especially that gospel that he taught them would impact them so that it would transform their lives. A life that focuses on themselves, pragmatic lives, to a life centered on God, to a life of faith and prayer. Our Lord modeled this, lived this, because he himself needed it. He himself practiced it, and he was bound by the scriptures. We see in Psalm 2, verse 8, Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. The prayer was part of what was that will of God, so that the Son could act and proclaim the gospel and reach the souls that were lost. We see in this passage that our Lord Jesus Christ seeks to model and teach this to his disciples. After the Lord removed the vendors from the temple, if you could see that in the previous verses on chapter 21, when he went to rest in Bethany, the next day he came back into his disciples early in the morning, at dawn, and he was hungry. And as he went on his way, he saw a fig tree from afar, and approached it promptly to see if there was anything to eat at the fig tree. For a Jew, the fig tree was something very important. It was a productive tree. It was a food that was quite affordable. For a Jew who worked in the field, the fig tree was a fruit that produced food several times a year. And next to the olive tree and the vine was a food that was easy to find on the Jewish people. Both the vine and the olive tree and fig tree were highly appreciated by the Israelites. The scriptures always teaches this element as a sign of bless, of good luck. An example of this can be seen in expressions like ones we see in 1 Kings 4:25. It says, and Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. This phrase, under its vine and under its fig tree, represents well-being. It is like synonym of abundance, of prosperity. For a Jew, being under a vine, under a fig tree, was like a sign of God's blessing for his life and for his home. We can see this equally in Zechariah 3, verse 10. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree? In some countries, the fig trees have early figs under the leaves and later ones over the leaves. In this case, the leaves were a signal that fruit should exist, maybe not visible, but probably under the leaves. These were known as the first fruits, as the first fig. This is why the Lord diligently comes close to the tree in search of figs. But as we see in the parallel passage in Mark, it was not the time of figs. At least, there should have been the first green figs that should have been growing, the first figs. Everyone who had a fruit tree in their garden, or who has had a fruit tree in their garden, knows that there are some fruits that the tree produces before reaching the complete harvest. Those fruits are the first fruits. And so it has happened to me. I have a beautiful Central American tree in the garden. This tree is quite tall and does not have many branches. However, despite all this, this tree is full of fruits. And it is not until summer that the first fruits are seen. But when those fruits are seen, the tree gets filled and quite large with yellow fruits. However, although the harvest time is in summer, always in spring, that tree bears two fruits. And every spring, I am on the lookout for those fruits because they are big and taste really good. Dear brothers, I want us to see two points that in turn will be subdivided. First, the illustration of the fig tree. And secondly, the instruction or teaching based on fig tree and what Christ gives to his disciples. Let's turn to the illustration of the fig tree. In general, what teaching can we find of this illustration from the fig tree? As you quickly read this passage, we see that we can find two basic teachings in this illustration. In the first place, infertility, accompanied by appearances, and in the second place, the inward fruits of the believer, faith and prayer. Now, in this passage, can we see a parallel between what Jesus could do and what the disciples could do? Is there a parallel there? I ask. Could it be what Jesus could do with this fig tree, today we can do with our weaknesses and struggles maybe? Even if we are not equal to the Lord Jesus Christ? What he did in the passage could do it. Could we do it? First, let's look at the illustration of the fig tree, the infertility accompanied by appearances. The fig tree externally has signs of figs. The leaves were a sign that there must have been some fruits, at least the first fruits, the first figs under the leaves. As Mark says, even though it was not the season for figs, harvest time in the summer, at least green figs should have been there, as we had already said. And that is what Christ wanted to at least find to satiate his hunger, his morning hunger. This fig tree is a symbol of danger of appearances. And this is a general teaching that we can see of this event. The fruitless fig tree is a symbol of the danger of appearances. External appearances that a believer or that a person may have. If like the fig tree, we are full of leaves saying, I am a Christian, I am a child of God, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. If we say these things, and reality proves us otherwise, we are fooling ourselves, and we are showing the same sin that the Pharisees showed when seeking to pray in public to be seen by men, when they sought to give offerings in public because they wanted the applause of men, the praise of men. What does the text actually tell us? The hypocrisy of this fig tree quickly became known because it had no fruit of holiness or genuine piety. But everything was appearance. Everything was leaves. Is your case the one we just mentioned? We can see from the passage that this fig tree attracted the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in Matthew 21, verse 19, our passage. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only. When the Lord Jesus Christ evaluates this with the intention of eating it, or eating from its fruits, he observes that the fig tree has no fruits. Fig trees can produce sweet and delicious fruits that can be eaten even green or immature. And the Lord Jesus hoped to find these fruits to satisfy his hunger at dawn. Yet, he found none. How many of us can be falling in this life of appearances to try to live this life of appearances under the eyes of men, forgetting that the fruits of righteousness, faith, piety are not necessarily to please men, but to please God. Let's see what is the heart that God expects from us. Scriptures say in Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. We can believe that nobody notices this, but God notices it. The fruits that please God not necessarily are pleasing to men, yet to God those fruits are pleasing. Fruits that come from a contrite and humbled heart, a fruit that comes from the work of the Spirit of God. We must be careful to believe we live in a life of piety when in truth we are only living a life of appearances, neglecting our lives of prayer, of faith, of life of growing in love, in patience, in goodness, in kindness. We appear sometimes to be submissive to the authorities when we are in public or in the church, just as the Pharisees, but when it comes to our private life, immediately all submission becomes null. Children can be submissive to their parents in church while they are in front of them, but when their parents give them their back, they complain and even threaten them within themselves in rebellion. How many of us have an appearance of godliness and unfortunately it's just a barren life, a dead life? Because indeed the fruit of faith, the fruit of the Spirit is not produced inside. It has not been produced inside, but alive to pretend to be pious. Secondly, what do we learn from this illustration of the fig tree? That the true fruits of the believer are internal. We see here how the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing a fig tree near the road, he runs to it because he's hungry. And when he goes through the fig tree, he finds nothing and curses it. Verse 19, and when he saw a fig tree on the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And then what happened to the fig tree? Well, that as she inwardly did not produce what she had to produce, the Lord simply brought out the outside, what was already in the inside, barrenness, death. We see here how the disciples are surprised. She says, the Bible says, verse 20, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon the fig tree withered away? Verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Here is the evidence that the fruits of the believer, they were surprised. Wow, the fig tree. However, the Lord said, no, don't set your eyes on the fig tree. If you had faith, that's what the verse says. If you had faith. Verse 22, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Here are two fruits over which Jesus placed the vision of the disciples, and they stayed on the outward appearance on the fig tree. The fig tree is right with your words. Wow, what powerful words. But Jesus said no. What is important here is not the fig tree, nor what happened to the fig tree. It's about faith and prayer, and that you must be working on these fruits. Those are the fruits that you need to produce, what you should be focusing on. It is not possible to have fruits of piety without faith. It is not possible to live a life of service to others if our hearts are not into it. If we are not crying out to God in prayer for a heart that loves to serve with faith, for a heart that loves to serve. Brothers, make no mistake, let's not be hypocrites. This is the same case of those who try to pretend what they are not. Many hypocrites, many know that they are wrong and still want to pretend that everything is fine. They keep their sins hidden until someone stumbles with their sin, until someone finds that sin, until someone sees coldness and stumbles upon that coldness. That is why Proverbs 28 verse 13 says, "And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." What are these days of isolation bringing out? These days of coronavirus, these days of you staying inside your home. Possibly, these days of coronavirus reveals that you are not striving to develop spiritual disciplines, that you are not reading the scriptures as you should, that you do not pray as much as you should, that you are not interested in the life of your other brothers and sisters, and as you say in public. Perhaps these things are because your whole life is centered on yourself, and your only interest is to supply your own needs and desires. And you don't think about the needy, you don't think about your brothers and sisters, you don't care about your relationship with the Lord. Dear brothers, these days we will not only see our fears, but we will also see our unbelief, our lack of faith, our lack of prayer, our lack of love, and our carelessness in our personal relationship with God. Many after this pandemic, do you know what is going to happen? Probably they would not even return to the church or show up to church because they were always wicked in the church and simply in their homes. It's just coming to light, which what has already been sterile, unmature, unfertility, unfertile fig trees and spiritually dead. It says 1 John 2 verse 19, they went out from us and they were not, because they were not from us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. It is not the first time that men claim to be believers and that God gives them up to their illness or to lose everything they have or sends them a virus, in this case, for example, and they just end up turning away from the Lord or looking for excuses like, the pastor has not called me. No one has called me. No brother or sister has called me. As if others are the ones that are supposed to produce fruits of mercy for you and not you produce fruits of piety for God, for His praise, for His glory. Not so that they see me as many walks. However, it is impossible not to have external fruits of piety and of faith if one is not in Christ. In the true child of God, there will be fruits. However, these are not the fruits of spiritual superpowers, but the result simply of close relationships and intimate with Christ, of prayer, of faith. Remember the disciples wandering, verse 20 in chapter 21 of Matthew. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How soon the fig tree withered away." Christ's answer was very simple. What was done by faith and prayer is this. No, wait a moment. That is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. His hands would bring out lightning if he would want to. None of that. Jesus said unto them in verse 21, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto the mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. This means that if you have faith, these things and many others you would do. A dried fig tree is a minor feat for men of faith, for women of faith, for children of faith, for young people of faith. That is nonsense. It's something so simple. Let a fig tree dry. Wow. That is nonsense. When the disciples wondered how it is possible that now, after the cursing of the Lord to the fig tree, it dried up, we need to understand that it is the power of faith and prayer. It is the result of the inner work of the Holy Spirit. This is the result of us trusting the Lord and His promises. What is happening is not because of us. Dear brothers, when others ask you, how have you endured years of illness or this test with your children? You should be able to answer by faith in my God and by prayer. And because He hears me and He answers. When they ask you, how is it possible that you have persevered in faith after problems like the ones you may have with your husband or wife, or this great problem that you have in your business or in your life, how have you not gone mad, they might ask. We must be able to answer, because I have trusted in the Lord, because I have believed in the promise of my God. To Him be the glory, and I have prayed, and He hears my prayer, and He answers. To Him, not to us, to Him be the glory. It is because of Him. That should be the kind of answer that we must give. How is it possible for you to keep being a Christian when God has taken everything from you? As well as the case of with Job. We must answer because through faith in the promises of God, through faith in my God, through prayer in my God, for He hears my prayer. When they ask, how is it possible for you to be filled with joy despite the present situation of a virus ravaging nations? How can you still praise the Lord? How is it possible? That should be your answer. The Lord Jesus Christ pointed to faith and prayer. That is the answer that Jesus Christ gave to His disciples. That's the answer He expects you to give these days. But now, we rely on our own strengths. We say phrases like, I have survived because of my own efforts. I have a huge strategy. I rely on my own intelligence. Better yet, we should say that we are walking because of faith, because of God. Because He is a God of mercy. Because He hears the prayer of His people. And I still can say, as the hymn says, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, through trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless state and hath shed His own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. That must be the response of men and women of faith. Brothers, these are the true fruits of God's. God is looking for in our lives these kinds of fruits today. Today amid affliction, today we should produce fruits of faith, of prayer, inner fruits produced by a continuous relationship with the Lord, produced by the work of death, of Jesus in the cross in our favor. If you are serving, if you are helping out, if you are helping the needy, it must be because you believe in Matthew 5, verse 7, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. Because you will leave the next 20, verse 35. I have shewed you all things. I have shewed you all things. How that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Because you will live in Micah 7, verse 18. And when they were come to him, and when they came to him, he said to them, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been unto at all seasons. For that reason, I want to be a man, a woman, merciful, merciful Christians. That is why we want to serve in the church of our Lord. Not because I'm chasing the applause of others, nor my pleasures, nor the economical provision of others, but because I'm doing this for my Lord. The weakness or strength of this internal fruits will be known for the fragility or strength of our external fruits. If you are weak in faith and prayer, your external fruits will be weak. If you are a barren fig tree, possibly you're not a child of God. Confess your sterile sin, your unfertile sin. Confess your lack of faith, because he who has no faith is an unbeliever. No matter how many years he may have in the gospel or in the church, whoever does not pray is ignorant of the commandments of God, because it is God who commands his people to pray and to do so without ceasing. And if you do not pray because, oh, I'm a very modern Christian, I don't pray, what you show is just that you are impious and, in the best of cases, an ignorant who does not know the scriptures, an ignorant of what God demands in his word. Demand. We need to remember it is a demand for our own good. Dear brothers, what does this first point imply? Is it possibly that many of us are actually not gracing our lives with the fruit of the Spirit, neither with the grace of God? Let's not err. Make no mistake. Why do you do it? For whom? What is the purpose for doing these things that you do in the church or for others? God knows the true fruits of his children. A Psalm 1 says in verse 6, for God knows the way of the righteous, but the path of the wicked will perish. Let us sincerely go to the throne of grace and seek to repent of our hypocrisy and cry out to God, oh Lord, help me. I am a barren fig tree. Give me a humble heart, truly humble, truly genuine, simply heart. Forgive my unbelief. We must pray before the Lord for these things. Dear brothers, it is a danger in which any brother can fall. In second place, let's see the instruction or teachings based on fig tree. We have seen the illustration or teaching of the fig tree, and now we'll see what are those internal fruits that we must strengthen and in which we must grow. The passage says clearly, Matthew verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig trees, but also ye shall say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. The Lord Jesus Christ clearly identifies that the life of a believer should not be a mediocrity and subservience to sin. We have been set free by the blood of Christ. Romans 6:22 says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Before we lived by the works of the flesh, Ephesians 2:3, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling our desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Before we believe, we had to palpate, to eat, to live, to feel. Before we must see, before we thought that we had to see to believe as the wicked do. Before we needed God to demonstrate things before we could even believe them. But now that we have a Christ, we have believed in Christ, dear brothers, things have changed. Now God has rescued us from our darkness and brought us into the light, to the kingdom of grace, to the kingdom of His beloved Son, where in us dwells the Holy Spirit. Colossians 1:13, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. As children of God, we have light. As we see also in 1 Thessalonians 5:5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, not of the darkness. We have been called to live by faith. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We have been called to live differently from others, to continuously exercise a life of faith. If our life was a life always of unbelief, and as Paul says in Romans 6, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God and those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of the righteousness of God. If your lives were about all of not being instruments of righteousness, but of unrighteousness, now as believers who live as servants of justice, in favor of justice, we have changed. Now we live by faith, for faith, in faith, and through faith always. We must be men and women of faith. Oh, let us not return to our old man. It is not the amount of faith that causes us to live godly, it is genuine faith. If you have faith, says verse 21. Know that the passage does not say here, if you have a lot of faith. A lot of faith. No. But says, if you have faith. If you are a believer, you have a genuine faith. This is what you need to tell the mountains to go and make it there. Hey, cast out there. Go to the sea. This is the type of faith that you need to tell our present circumstances. I trust in the Lord. I rest in the Lord. Is faith what we need? Simply faith. The same faith for which we were saved. If ye have faith and doubt not. Interestingly enough, faith here is contrasted with disbelief. What is our problem? Is the sin of unbelief. Therefore, beloved brethren, God calls us here to live in that way in which we have been saved according to our calling. 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. Now we do not belong to the kingdom of darkness, beloved brother. You belong to the kingdom of the Son of God, where there is no death. When a believer part from this land, he's not dead. As it is said in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. When a believer leaves this earth, he's not dead, but he is asleep. God is not a God of dead people. He's a God of living. He is the God of the living. For now every man of faith is alive and has eternal life in Christ. And the Spirit dwells in us, as Paul teaches us in the letter to the Romans in the chapter 8. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Dear brothers, today we have enough faith for us to rest in the Lord during any storm, any tempest, in whom is our faith placed? This faith is about God. We have to place our faith in God, as it is says clearly in Mark 11, verse 22. Have faith in God. Our faith must be placed in God. Our faith is the testimony that His words are true and He will fulfill His promises at His time. Our faith must strengthen us from that in His name we do prowesses. Our faith is the proof that it is a reality that He has wrought salvation in our hearts. Faith, beloved brethren, is what the Lord Jesus Christ tells the apostles is what simply is necessary to do what He says in the passage and many other things, as we can see throughout the old scriptures. We must not learn to rest in God to wait patiently. We must learn to rest in God to wait patiently, because the answers to our requests have been given to our prayer requests, and we only need to wait for the Lord's time to be fulfilled. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us an example to the fig tree and then a hill. Put your faith in specific promises of God. Trust in what God says in His Word. Think where your faith is, in what promise of God. Sit yourself with the Scriptures and look for in the Scriptures those promises that God has given for your present situation. Cry out to the Lord so that He speaks to your soul, so that He may direct you through all His Word, so that you see that He is faithful, who does not fail, that He will pay, that He is good, generous, compassionate, tender, loving, merciful, holy, righteousness, merciful, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Go to the Scriptures and put in your head and in your heart those promises and those truths and hold fast onto them. That is having faith in His Word and in Him. We saw the fig-based instruction or teaching. Now let us look at the prayer. Verse 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Another version also says, when it refers to prayer, it says, in fervent prayer. Prayer must be continuous and fervent. What will the man of faith that is anchored in the promises of the Lord do? What will the man of faith do when he clinges to God's promises? He will pray. The man of faith waits for the time of God's response. Look at Daniel. After 70 years in captivity, as an old man, Daniel appears before the Lord, confessing the sin of his people and remembering the promises of the Lord. Remembering, Lord, your promise has been fulfilled. Our faith does not stop at the door of prayer. We must exercise faith in God through prayer, retaking prayers with the promises that will supply your needs. For what purpose do you go to the throne of grace in prayer? Why go to the throne of grace at all? Because God sends us to go. As simple as that. Because there are the answers to our need. There we can find our answers. What do you hope to receive from a prayer that has been wandering and wandering between beautiful words and strange babbles? It would actually be better if you were just silent, if you would just shut up and did not interrupt the services of the courts of the Lord and the praise on His throne with your irreverent and unassembly babbling. What is the reason you enter to the throne of grace? If you go to the throne of grace, go with faith that He blesses those who diligently seek Him. Go crying out to Him in our own words, with your own promises that He has sent in His Word, with the promises that apply to your cases. Let's go in prayer with clear and specific requests. Let's go in prayer with the promises given by God to those clear and specific requests. And then surrender to cry out to God for things you really need. If you pray, meditate on the great intercessor who was in Gethsemane and was his pleading was accompanied by drops of sweat and blood that fell to the ground, because his cry could also be compared to the struggle, to that of like a struggle with God in prayer. His soul was afflicted, broken to death. He went to with that burden before the Lord. Luke 22, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. The Lord was crying and sweating. He was suffering while waiting for what was to come. There are many examples of men and women of prayer. Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Moses, Lot, Job. James 4 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. It is because of our own desires. Let us not pray for our own desires, but pray for what is good, for the will of God. In his book, The Power of Prayer, Edward M. Bound said that a pastor called Joseph Alain in the 17th century left his bed at 4 in the morning and to attend to prayer until 8. And if he heard that some artisans, some pastry makers, some bread makers had started it working before him, he got up and he would exclaim, how ashamed I am. Doesn't my God, my Lord, deserve more than theirs? Same experience as Luther. Luther said, if I stop spending 2 hours in prayer every morning, the enemy gains victory during the day. I have many matters that I cannot only dispatch without occupying 3 hours at least of a day of prayer. Luther had a common motto. He used to say, he who has prayed well has studied well. John Welch, also the holy and wonderful Scotch preacher, said, doth the day ill spent, if you had not spent 8 hours or 10 of the day praying, then he would fall ill. He would tend to the day as not productive. He had a scarf actually to wrap up around his neck at night, and he got up to pray. And when he got up to pray at night, his wife, in many occasions, regretting finding him on the floor crying, and he would reply, oh woman, I have to answer for these 3,000 souls, and I don't know what has happened to many of them. Before choosing his apostles, Christ spent the entire night praying. After he prayed, he multiplied the loaves to 5,000 people. After he prayed, he walked over the sea. After he prayed, he called out Lazarus from the dead. After he prayed, he went to be crucified. Christ was a man of prayer on his pilgrimage on earth. Long periods of time in prayer form his history and character. Dear brothers, let us not fool ourselves. Our infertility life, our life in infertility, is not the fruit of the lack of opportunity to serve. Your lack of prayer is what prevents you from serving the Lord, is what keeps you sterile, keeps you unfertile. Let's look at Daniel, a man who served kings. You and I do not serve anyone. Daniel, as a slave, served kings. And still, he was a man characterized by prayer and faith. Beloved brother, let's examine each of us with the scriptures. What are your fruits? What are our own fruits which are produced? What are the fruits that are produced in our minds, our lips, our actions? May God, by bringing out the light, the infertility of our souls, take us to the prayer chambers to confess our sins, our unbeliefs, our hypocrisy, Be God truthful and every man a liar. Let us see some applications. The life of the believer is a continuous act of faith and prayer. We cannot stop living in faith and prayer. We must be born, we must live, we must walk, and we must die in faith, for which we must continually pray. Because our God and Father is our protector, our sustainer, our bulwark, our strong rock. Our God is the one who sustains our souls. That's why we must pray in all time. Every believer who has grown up in these gifts know that these gifts come from God. He had to be humbled. He had to humble himself. There is no believer that will receive these gifts from God and not be humbled. To kill his selfishness. To fight to stay. Fight to keep holy habits of prayer and reading of this, and habits of reading of the scriptures continuously. How good it is, brothers, to be in fellowship with men and women that pray for us. And that we intercede for them, and they encourage us and they admonish us to help us be responsible to grow in faith and prayer. Brethren, this is a call to every believer, to all who have been saved by faith. Let us encourage one another. Let's continue being part of these living stones that remain standing, holding the buildings that the body of Christ in prayer. Let's keep fueling the fires of worship through our knees. Let us attack the gates of Hades with our prayers. Let us continue advancing the kingdom of God in prayer and faith. For our acts of faith and service and love and aid are what fuels the kingdom. What allows us to grow together. Let us keep our lives from maintaining an appearance of having life and not having it, actually. Brothers, do not live by appearances. If God has shown today your dryness, your infertility, He is merciful and compassionate. I encourage you to cry out right there before the Lord and ask forgiveness for your sins. Ask forgiveness for your unbelief, for your pride, for your lack of faith in His promises. I urge you to stop living a life of sterility. And today, begin to walk a life of faith and prayer. If we hide our sins, we will not be prospered. Do not harden your hearts. Go before the Lord and confess your sin. And cry out to God for your unbelief. Friend that is listening right now, if you are a tree that does not bear fruit for God, consider your infertility. The only means by which God will bear fruit for His glory in you is if you think there is forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ and cry out to God in repentance and faith. Our Lord is merciful. He will take away your sin and He will forgive you. He will dress you up. He will give you a ring as a sign that you are His son. He will clean all your wickedness. He will satiate your hunger for good, mercy, justice, and you will be a new creature. You do not have to die in sterility, unfertileness. You do not have to die and go to an eternal fire that is prepared for Satan, His angels, and those who do not believe in Jesus Christ and His promises. Today is the day of salvation. Hear the voice of the Lord. Sinner, come to Christ. Come to Christ and you will be happy forever. See to it that awaits your good Savior. May your heart not harden against Him who have His life for you, who gave His life for you, and who today offers you complete forgiveness. If you repent and cry out to Him, He will hear your voice and forgive you. May God grant us today to be able to enjoy the true fruits of faith and prayer. Because we have believed God, and we have repented, and we have turned to Him, determined to be men and women of faith and prayer. May God do wonderful things through each one of us. Let us pray.